Okay, it's a new year. It is 2019. This is the first episode of the Multipod in our new year. So if you joined us last time out, we kind of celebrated the achievement of doing this whole show for a year, which was something very satisfying to reflect on and to think about it. And gave us a pause, you know, over the holidays. It was a busy time and so on, and to just think about all the work we've done. And, you know, as much as it's been a lot of work, obviously, to put a podcast together, but it could be more. We could do even more research and more editing and stuff like that. We don't worry too much about that. It's really just about making the commitment. And that's kind of what we ended up talking about a lot last time out, was the kind of the feeling of making that commitment to doing something and consistently, you know, doing it every couple of weeks. So here we are now in 2019 and launching a new, maybe a new season, I guess. We kind of play around with the format here a little bit, but, you know, we're basically still coming up with interesting ideas and topics of things to talk about. And of course, people from the Putty Tribe that we can talk to that about. So for starters, well, I'm Ted, of course, and with me is Sarah, as usual, and we're going to introduce our topic for this week, and we will have a guest coming on soon. We'll introduce her in a few minutes, that many of you know, of course, if you're members of the Putty Tribe, because she's very active and really gets involved with lots of stuff, especially the big event that's happening this month that seems to happen every January in the Putty Tribe. It's called Jumpstart, and we'll talk to you lots about that. So Henriette Hammer is our guest today, and we'll introduce her in a few minutes. But for starters, Sarah's with me here. So Sarah, how is your New Year's? Are you settling into the new year?
Hello, it's great. I mean, thank you for that introduction. Ready to jumpstart into the projects that I want to do for this year, and I'm so happy that we can talk with Henriette today.
Mm-hmm. So our general topic is this idea of having taken a break from something for a little while. Maybe it was a forced break, you know, because you were really caught up in work, or the holidays, of course, in this case, and, you know, you're busy doing other things, right? But you had some projects, you had some things that you were working on in maybe the weeks and months before, and now you want to get back to it, but there's been some time in between. And so we want to kind of go over some of the mindset and approach to that. I mean, you may be really excited to get on with something, or you may be feeling overwhelmed, of course, because, you know, trying to remember all the stuff that you were doing and getting caught up in busy lives, you know, where do you begin again? And just kind of catching up with that mindset of, you know, how do you pick up with a project that you started before? How do you get back into the flow of things and the routines as well? So, I mean, Sarah, you came up with the topic, I guess. Was there anything in particular on your mind that inspired that question?
Oh, absolutely. Every time I take a break between something, like, I don't know, I go to holidays or I have lots of family things to take care of, and I try to go back to the things that I was doing previously, it takes me a long time to really focus and gain that productivity time that I had before leaving everything. It's true that we always need that break, that kind of deep breath and between things, and sometimes it gives you new energy. But for me, like, for example, when I was in school, going back to school after the winter holidays, it took me a huge effort to kind of refocus on the things that I was supposed to do. I don't know if that happens to other people, to other putty peep, but for me, it's every time.
Well, let me play amateur psychologist. Do you have a sense of why you might feel that way? Has it always been like that?
It has always been like that for me. I guess it's just I have to recreate that and channel that energy that I had before, and breaking completely from it. It's kind of recreating it back again. And once you are in the flow, it gets easier. But kind of like it started from the beginning, it just takes a lot of energy and effort.
Mm. What do you have going on right now that you want to pick up on again or refocus on?
Well, for me right now, I have a few projects that I was trying to finish before the Christmas holidays, and a few paintings and a few other visual art projects that I was very on the loop before this break. And right now I'm just so slow with it. I have to stop every once in a while because it takes me time to regain that.
Is it a question of focus? Like when you sit down to do something, there's distractions, it's easy to procrastinate, or it's just you feel kind of overwhelmed? Is it just a question of being able to focus and get the first step going?
For me, it's kind of like I get tired of it. It's easier, quicker. And I have to stop more. I have to force myself more to it.
So it's kind of a question of motivation.
I guess you could call it that way, but I really want to finish it.
Yeah, so it's kind of a push and a pull thing. You want to finish it and you're motivated for that end, but I guess trying to figure it all out, getting back in the flow. And I mean, if we're busy people and we have lots on the go, I find, you know, and with my busy life and kids and everything, you have I've talked about before how you have little blocks of time once you get busy, you know, adulting and living a busy life, right? So I may have 20 minutes. I'd love to have 2 hours or 5 hours to like concentrate and really dive into something, but it rarely happens. It's usually 20, 30 minutes or a brief minute, even just to kind of catch up on an email. And I've been slowly learning to train my brain, I guess, to be in the moment and focus on that thing. Otherwise, I may read an article or email or whatever it is, I probably won't absorb it. I probably won't remember. So it's kind of pointless, right? So you need to really learn how to focus, I guess, when you have those short blocks of time. But that's part of the challenge, I guess, is just adapting to our busy lives for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels good when at least you know that you're trying and that you are there. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, for me, being with my brushes and paint, and at least I do a couple of brush over the painting.
Mm. That's cool. We may have an expert in productivity here with us, or maybe she's just an expert in taking action. We'll find out. And I don't know if you were taking notes there during our intro, but we'd love to hear your thoughts in general. But Henriette is here with us. Now she is in Rotterdam, right? In the Netherlands. Yeah. So welcome to the Multipod. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were a Putty Peep of the Week. We had you profiled a few months ago. I remember bringing that up, but it's the first time we've met. We've talked, obviously, over video, so it's nice to hear your voice.
Yep, I hope you like it. It's weird hearing my own voice.
Yeah, it's a different experience when you're on a podcast or something like that for the first time. But and how long have you been part of the Putty Tribe?
A little over 2 years.
Okay. Do you remember what brought you to it, how you found it, why you decided to join?
Well, I think like so many people, the TED Talk by Emily, like, oh, that's me. And then it turned out that I had a bookmark to the Putty Like for ages. So, and then it clicked. And then I thought, okay, let's try this. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, cool. Have you always been pretty steadily active, or do you kind of come in and go, pop in and out of the community?
Well, I had a rough start because I taught I got sick a month in, so I was very active the first month, and then it kind of slowed down for 3 months. And I really, when talking about picking up on projects, this was like, okay, am I just become a lurker, which is not my style, or do I dive back in? Fortunately, I did the latter, but that's, it was strange because I felt like I missed 4 months.
Oh, yeah. But you're feeling better now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's some good antibiotics. And no, that's 2 years ago. So that's, and then it's on and off, depending on how much attention that I need. I know that I have to put in the Putty Tribe first before I will get some back. That's some law that I know works. So when you don't see me or in the forums, it's like, okay, it's good with her.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think a lot of us turn to that for the community. I mean, that's why we're here, is for the community. And, you know, when we're missing that side of our lives, and obviously being associated with people, we have this mentality in common, right? So it's nice to come back to it.
Mm-mm. No, and I'm very lucky with the Fortnightly, because that is just an ongoing thing. Mm. I think I joined that about a year and a half ago. And I'm committed to that. So, no matter what, well, unless I have a concert or something, I will be there. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't depend on whether I'm feeling good or not. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I welcome all the new putty peeps, and sometimes it's only those five that kind of pop out for me. So that's it.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good shout out for the Fortnightly Doug Walker's bi-weekly event there. If anyone's looking for some kind of accountability and productivity push, it's a great thing to do. Well, before we dive into the topic, tell us a bit more about what you do and what keeps you busy in life.
Well, I should be looking for a job. Okay. And that was my main goal in the jumpstart that we had in July as well. Because last year I made the remark for January, like, I don't have any problems jumping myself in January, but I need some halfway the year. And then, of course, Joel picked up on that. And then in June, he said, do you want to lead it? Okay, I will. And it was quite fun, because there were a lot of people who wanted to do that. But I've been looking for a job for 3 years now. So kind of a bit of a boring project by now. So that's one I would like to drop, but that's not up to me. So that's my main concern at the moment, and that has as a result that all the other projects that are in my head are kind of on the back burner, because I shouldn't be working on them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying.
I think a lot of us know that feeling. It's
absolutely.
Well, what kind of work would you like to find?
Good question. Yeah. I'm not sure. I know what I'm good at. That's just manipulating data. Well, I am the spreadsheet wizard or witch,
yeah,
whatever
right.
You want to call it.
I remember that with your profile there. We talked about your spreadsheet expertise, I guess. Is that kind of a hobby or something you just really take to naturally?
Well, I say that I abuse Excel, because I make it do stuff that it's not supposed to do. Like, produce sound and produce movement and
all
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's like art. I mean, not like art. It is art.
Yeah. I mean, just the art community doesn't understand it, because it's made in Excel. Like, and the bookkeepers that use Excel are not artistic enough to appreciate what I do with it. So it's like a really small part in the Venn diagram.
I would love to hear. I would love to listen to it.
Yeah.
Channel and a website and all the kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll share that in our notes here at the end.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then coming back to the connecting to your project, because I've been very steadily in 2018 making a weekly, well, creative thing, be it a video or an animated GIF or just some audio or sometimes text. And I haven't figured out what I'm going to do in 2019. So in a way, I'm also looking for a new project to take on. So that's, you have the connecting to old projects, but starting a new one from scratch is also a weird experience. So what am I going to do now? What new inspiration is going to hit me?
What are you passionate about? No?
Well, what am I not passionate about? I am inspired. I let myself be inspired by whatever I see. So there is a lot of YouTube channels that I'm subscribed to. So the SciShow and Numberphile, Objectivity. I don't know if people are familiar with those, but they are sometimes very scientific or just on the popular side of scientific. But they are always able to come up with something that is, oh, I didn't know that. And as soon as I can find something visual in it, so they usually have text, but if there's something that I can make it visual with and adding pitch to it, so as long, the moment you have numbers between 0 and 127, you can put a MIDI pitch to it. That's what I basically do.
A MIDI page.
Yeah, the MIDI pitch.
Yeah, like the music interface.
Yeah, that's between 0 and 127. And then I play around with that. So, and that's what I did with my how does a picture sound? That's been my quest. And I kind of know the answer now. You take a color value and you just translate it into pitch, and then you have a melody. It's weird, but it's a melody.
No, it's amazing. And what's your end goal with it?
Oh, well, my vision, which was in an earlier podcast episode, I want to make a world a nicer place by surprising people with nice stuff, things that they didn't expect. So I would love to give my Excel art workshop wherever, but I'm not very good at marketing. So, but I'm good with data and trying to find a story in data, or just diving into a pool of data, like find the story in it, or just, we have information here. What can we get from it? So, or we have a question, try to find the answer. So that's on a more professional side. And I used to be an engineer.
No, that's amazing. There is a whole new movement in the art world that is about data and using data to create new things, give it a shape. Actually, there is an artist, a very famous Spanish artist that works a lot with technology. His name is Daniel Canogar. Maybe you will be interested in checking his work. I think he made a piece for a university in which he used all the movement registered by the students, and then that movement translated into color and shapes in the screens. And there are screens that are flexible, so those screens have shapes, and it's like a movement painting. And he's very popular in the States too right now. There are a lot of artists working with data. That's why I was asking you before, like, more and more galleries and art fairs are getting interested in that, because it's our current culture, is the world we're living. We're creating so much data that what do we do with it, right? It's one of the big questions that the data analysts are questioning themselves. It's like, okay, like, besides improving a product or improving a service, is there another use we can give it to it? And artists are doing amazing and curious things with it, like you, right? And going back to the Jumpstart project, what was the spark that you had that made you create this project?
Well, I didn't create it initially, because as far as I know, this is the fourth one. There was one last year, July, and in January. And I think there was one even earlier. But, well, maybe I wasn't a member right then, at that moment. And by accident, I got to lead the Jumpstart July last year. And, of course, I got the question, well, are you willing to jumpstart January for 2019? And at first, I was a bit apprehensive, well, because maybe I was going to do some course in this month, but I decided not to do that. So actually, I had time. That was the only thing that made me not jump immediately. Ah, pun here. Usually, I don't need to jump in January myself. And when I realized that nobody else was going to do it, okay, but I know that people really like it and people need it. So, okay, I'll just lead it without being a participant myself. Well, and in the end, I said, okay, I'm just going to participate with, for me, a small thing. Like, I'm kind of a house mouse. In the Netherlands, it's a little bird that just stays in the house. I'm really comfortable just being indoors, and I should be going out more. So I put that as one of my goals. But it's amazing to see what goals people have. And sometimes they're small, and sometimes they're like 10 bullet points. Like, okay, good luck with that. And then you see how people are achieving them or not achieving them. And that's kind of, how do you say it? Owning it. Like, okay, I didn't do it. Tomorrow is another day. And what I like about it is that people appreciate what I do, despite the fact that what I do is pretty simple. Well, they don't know there is a complicated Excel formula behind the spreadsheet that we use. Because for me, it's not that much work. It's a copy and paste of a cell that's in that hidden formula. Don't mess around with my hidden formula, please.
Well, maybe tell us a bit about the format of Jumpstart. Like, how is it structured? And then what is your active role in it as a leader?
Yeah, well, there have been different formats. I know that a year ago, there have been huddles and some other silent co-working spaces. Well, I'm not good in hosting huddles. I'm very good in participating in them, but not hosting them. So, well, my deal was I do the spreadsheet where people can just post their goals and own up to what they did or did not do and make a daily summary. And that's something I don't think a year ago was done, but it helps me to have like a daily responsibility in doing that, and also a daily responsibility in filling in that cell that's for me. But that's different for everyone. I know that there are two that have said, well, oh, this is too much. This is somehow too much pressure. And I guess that pressure comes from inside themselves, because I just, if you don't fill in anything, I just leave you out of the summary. I don't care. It's, and that's with every accountability. That's also with the fortnightly. If you do or do not do what you said earlier, no one's going to judge you. The only person judging or saying, ah, you should have done it, is you yourself.
Yourself, yeah.
So that's, but it helps to know that some people are like watching you, or watching is a negative, but because I sell it like we should be cheering on each other.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's, and that's what I try to do. I pick on the positive things, or put a, is it an English expression, putting a heart under a belt? Well, probably not.
I haven't heard that one, but I think I know what you mean.
It's just like, okay, you didn't succeed today, but I'm sure that you will tomorrow or the day after, and we're happy to hear when you do.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm a good cheer. That's the feedback that I get. So
I would think so. It's about attitude as much as anything, right? People thrive off of positivity. So
how is it for you in the, like, keep track of all the things that you promise yourself to do? And
good question. Well, 3 years ago, I read the complete book of Getting Things Done, and that entails more than just the time management thing that a lot of people are talking about. It really focuses, or tries to focus you on also the long-term goals that you have and your mission and your vision. I definitely don't do everything that's in that book, but the daily structure really helps me. So, and coming back to when you have a 2 week break because of holidays, I always try to keep some of that structure going on. I have like things that I want to do daily and weekly or on a regular basis, like putting the dishes in the dishwasher is something that I do every 5 days because reasons. And so there's a regularity in a lot of things that I do. It's a list about 60 items, I think, and some are just once a year, and I just put them in the Outlook tasks, so I don't have to remember them. So then all of a sudden I see, today you have you bring your winter coat to the cleaners. That's somewhere in the summer. And the funny thing is, now I can say it because I know it's somewhere in the list, and it will pop up when it's supposed to pop up. And that really offloads what is in my memory. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in the Getting Things Done system, what I use, is the weekly evaluations and trying to plan on what I'm going to do next week. And when I had like 5 projects, that was 2 years ago, 5 projects at the same time, it really helped looking on a Sunday evening. Oh no, that was on a Saturday. Like, what did I do last week? And sometimes it was like, I didn't do anything about it, but they're all in a folder and I pick them out and I look at them. And sometimes I just kind of hear them complain, like, you didn't give me any attention this week. No. Yeah, and then it's like, okay, assessing, am I going to do this, yes or no? And so it almost feels like I have a conversation with my projects, but I think I do. And sometimes I just hear them call like, you need to do something about me. And I just listen to them. That's easier than trying to decide yourself.
Do you feel bad when you don't accomplish one of the things that you set yourself to do?
I try to be nice to myself. So yeah, sometimes I don't like it when something is not finished, but I like to say it's not finished yet. Because there's, and you have like the jumpstart January is just for January, but I try to begin every day, and Mondays are a bit special because that's after the weekend and some kind of the work week starts again. So that's another moment to start. And when I feel that I really need it, it's all also the time after lunch is also an opportunity to start again. I have a lot of built-in start moments for myself. So I don't think I stay disappointed in myself very long, like a max of 4 hours, maybe a day. Yeah, and I always pick up on Monday. That's really like Sunday evening, evaluating what I did last week. So I'm looking back, looking forward, and then on Monday, yay, gonna start again. That Monday start is good. When I start thinking like, and I postpone it on the Tuesday, that can be a recipe for a meh week.
Yeah. How is for you, Ted? I mean, you also have to keep the balance with your family and having small child.
Yeah, well, and at this point, I guess I kind of instinctively turned to this January as a chance to relaunch and kind of start some new things. You know, it's a new year and so on. And then after the holidays is always a good break to get that refresh. So it just kind of came naturally. And the thing I want to work on, which in a large part was inspired by episode 26 there with Mike back before Christmas, when we talked about becoming, for him, a digital nomad, but essentially, you know, to be able to be self-employed and work from anywhere and basically do freelance work and build a business eventually if you want, that kind of thing. So that's been my goal, and it's time to do it, to start laying that foundation. So I've been really focused on that the last, what are we now, last couple of weeks or so already. Like I joined a copywriting course and a community there and stuff like that. So there's some accountability and all that and support. And I found that I'm not interested in doing anything else. And that doesn't bother me. I always think in the back of my mind, it'd be nice to play more music or, you know, work on this or that project. But honestly, besides the multipod, which is once every couple of weeks, at least it's not every day, a couple of weeks is good. Aside from the multipod, I'm not doing much else right now. I'm really focusing on this copywriting thing and just basically doing this course and building up the skills and the practice and so on. And it feels good. It feels good to be able to just focus on that singular thing, because it's so easy for me, I know for a lot of us, to go down the rabbit holes. You get distracted and you read and you read and you consume all this information, but you're not taking any action really. And, you know, I want to make some progress. So it feels good to be that singularly focused. And it's kind of a coincidence maybe that it happens now in January, I guess, in a new year. But I don't know. It seems to be a natural benchmark really. So, of course, the challenge now is to keep that going tomorrow, next week, week after week, you know, make some real genuine progress. And the biggest challenge, as I say, is always to really become immersed in it, because I'm usually, most of the time, I'm kind of picking away at it. I'll read a few pages of the course, you know, or I'll do a bit of writing, a bit of practice and stuff like that, when I might have like half an hour, however much time I have. But I would love to really just be able to turn everything else off for a few hours and just really absorb and dive into this material. I think that'll be good for me. So that's the challenge. Maybe this coming week I'll be able to find some time, make some time, you know. But I feel good about it so far.
That's great. I mean, I was writing down a few of the things that you commented on about strategies for reconnecting after a break. Definitely structure does help, like kind of creating a kind of ritual for you to kind of follow. Even though that ritual can be breaked once in a while. I know, Henriette, for you also, weekly evaluations do help. And not for me though, because I get anxious. But I guess that's fine. Like, everybody has their own ways of doing it.
Find a frequency that works for you. There are people that are evaluating every day at the end of the evening, or making a start. Like what is now going on with the artist way, that you write morning pages, and that is some kind of fresh start for a day and kind of to get you going as well. I used to write them as well, and at some point it didn't work anymore. And that's with all systems. Just pick and choose and make your own system. And when it doesn't work anymore, let it go.
Yeah, definitely. Letting things go is a good advice. And another one that Ted mentioned is, it's good to sometimes focus on one thing for a time, and to not feel bad about that neither. I remember at the end of last year when I was doing the course to become a flight attendant, I had to drop everything down because it was so compact. It was very compact, the course, so I didn't have time and to anything else, and I had to really focus on that to be able to after that and approving the course and starting to fly. I knew that I was going to have the time to pick up everything else.
Yeah, that's true. You put it in perspective, you know, like to focus on something really intensely for, I don't know, maybe a few weeks, could even be a few months, but those are the things you want to do. They'll still be there when that busy period is over, right?
Mm. So, and I've realized kind of like looking back a little bit, I know I'm fairly young, but looking back on my life, I see that everything goes by cycles. Like everything kind of goes by periods of time. And acknowledging that, it also at least helps me to know that, okay, right now, like this is my period and I'm doing this during this period, and in the future, something else will be.
Yeah, and what I've noticed in that cycle, there always should be some kind of resting point. Hmm. I read an interesting article that it was about millennials, but I think it's for everyone, and I think multipods are just millennials, whatever age they were born in. That in this day and age, we don't take rest and like deliberate doing nothing. Hmm. Because sometimes you're just staring out of the window and not knowing where you are. And that's good too. I think that's difficult for us multipods as well. Well, not for me. I have a really good stare out of the window. But to do it deliberately, just mm-hmm. taking a book just because you enjoy it and not because you have to read it, like this yeah, urgency. Yeah. And I read that a lot, literally or between the lines in a lot of forum posts. That I need to accomplish a lot of, no, chill. and well, on a dark perspective, the world will turn without you, but we want you in it. But we want you in it, not being burned out.
Yeah. And also that rest period, it helps to accommodate all the things that you've learned before. Because if not, you don't leave a space to come, kind of leave things to settle in your mind. And it's really important for that too.
Yeah, otherwise you just keep going and going and going.
And you forget everything else.
Yeah, and you're not just in one rabbit hole, you're in 10 rabbit holes.
Yeah, one thing I've been really teaching myself lately is to be intentional about what I'm doing. So the same basic idea, you know, it's okay if I want to, I guess, watch a video or read a book or play some music or something, which are all fine things. But if I let myself do it spontaneously and then, you know, it goes on for like an hour or two or something, then I feel bad. If I decided I'm going to watch a movie, I don't know, this afternoon or something, if I have the chance, I'm going to watch a movie. It's something I've been meaning to do for ages, and it's okay. I've done other work. I've earned that time. I'm going to intentionally do that. I'm not going to feel bad about it. I feel better by setting that time aside where I do something else that's different, that's relaxing, whatever, instead of, you know, it's nice to be spontaneous, but you got to kind of be careful because then, you know, as I say, a couple hours or maybe 20 minutes drifts into an hour, drifts into a couple hours. And then it's like you look back in your day, well, what the hell did I do today, right? If you've been intentional about it, yeah, I had a block of an hour where I knew I wasn't going to do maybe some work that I wanted to do, but I did something else that I've been meaning to do. It was intentional. So I've been really working on doing that the last, I'd say the last few months, I guess. It's been much more a conscious effort.
I once had only one goal for a day. That was have fun. And by writing it down, and I have a whiteboard that I'm now pointing at, but I can't avoid it when I'm in my study, where I have my daily goals. And when it just said in big, bold letters, have fun. Okay, I smile about it, but I know, okay, I made this commitment to myself to have fun today. Well, let's have fun. And then, well, then it's a bit of a fake it till you make it, but it works. So every now and then I just have fun day in between.
Oh, absolutely. You definitely need to treat yourself once in a while. And that can take the shape of meeting with friends or watching a movie with popcorn or just taking a book and just forgetting about the whole world and your duties for, even though it's just for a little bit.
Yep.
So maybe we'll wrap up just getting back to the Jumpstart event because it's still, well, when this comes out, it'll be about the middle of January, but there's a couple of weeks left now. That's one thing. Can someone still join in before the end, right? Even if this is only a few days?
Definitely. Yeah. Like I say, claim your column in the spreadsheet or don't and just add in the forum thread and know that people will read it. I will read it. I will read everything that's in the forum thread. And if I feel I should comment on it, I will.
And is it exclusively text-based like on the forum or do you have huddles as well?
Well, I'm not a huddle poster. So,
Maybe you wouldn't, but anyone else as part of Jumpstart?
If they want to, if they want to put it on the umbrella of the Jumpstart, be my guest. Yeah.
How many people are right now have joined right now?
I think about 17, but there's also one dropout in the Excel sheet, but she's still giving us updates in the forum thread. So that's
wow.
Yeah, and some are. I think they are working so hard that they forget to update the spreadsheet, which is okay.
I guess this is related also with the accountability project. I guess that in a way, like sharing it with others helps to make it real, right?
Yeah.
Once you are putting it out there and you're sharing it with people, kind of accomplishing those goals become more real.
Yeah. Now, and what I would really like, and I don't see that happening too much, but that's maybe because I'm talking too much in the forum thread, is that people react to each other's goals and accomplishments. And but of course, I don't know what is going, what's happening outside this forum thread. Maybe are people direct messaging each other enormously, encouraging each other or finding common interests or, well, something they share. But if that was more visible for the Jumpstart or for any accountability, that would make me happy. That's because then it's not just me cheering on all 16 others, but that's that everybody. And I know that everybody's cheering silently. I know they are, but just to express that.
Are people generally happy to share their projects and what they're doing, or just like, you know, to say that they are accomplishing something, but they don't give a lot of details?
Well, there's not that much room in a spreadsheet cell. So
yeah, it would have to be on the forum, I guess.
Yeah.
But still.
No, I find that people are very open on and whether or not they have accomplished it. But like I said earlier, they own it also when they don't. And sometimes they give an explanation. And sometimes you see that they change their goals. Like, I did. I had a goal and I said, this wording doesn't fit me. So I'm going to change it. And that's, what's a goal when it doesn't fit you anymore? So for just a text-based way of communication, people are telling a lot. Yeah. And I hope that everybody is an inspiration for all the others, because they really are.
Well, I bet it is. I think once you know that other people are also trying, it creates a sense of community. That's what this group is good about. And it makes you feel that you are not alone, and that for sure gives you strength to keep going.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be done again in 6 months? This will become a twice a year thing?
Well, if I haven't stumbled into a job by then, I might lead it again. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's another point then too. What was the reaction to doing it twice a year? Did that make a big difference for people?
Well, we should look at that in when July comes, see what the turn up is then. But there were a lot of, I think, well, we had even more participants in July, because July is this slow month, summer, and there were also a lot of people who didn't want to participate because it was summer. But I think a lot of them also had like, okay, let's try to get something going for when summer is over, something like that. But the goals are definitely different now from compared to July. I might make an analysis on that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I see more like the more traditional New Year's resolutions, but also people that have enormous projects that they need a little momentum back. And I think in July, it's more of ongoing projects that need a little boost.
Right.
It's not so much as reconnecting what you do after 2 weeks of holidays. And July has another,
vibe.
Yeah. That it's, but somewhere this month, I will look into that, because you triggered something with me. So that's,
Okay, cool. We look forward to that data as well. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, having you on the show here at last. All the best of luck with your own projects. And of course, hopefully finding a job if you find something you want to do, right?
Yep. Well, having income is actually the project.
Also.
And that kind of goes together with a job, usually.
Usually, yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. It was an honor.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Henriette.
Well, Sarah, are you feeling more focused and energized for the rest of this month and beyond?
I guess, you know, I've learned to not put that a lot of pressure on myself about it. I know that I'm doing my best, and like knowing that I do all that I can with my best intentions, it's the most I can do. So once I know that I'm doing that, I stop feeling anxious, and I know that I put the time whenever I can. You know, sometimes there are things that came out, emergencies or things like that, and you have to drop it and then come back again. And I, before, when I was talking about the cycles, I realized that at least in my life, I saw that there are periods of times where they are very, very intense, and there are other periods of times where I'm more relaxed and I have more time and to do other things. And I've learned to enjoy those times too, because as we said before with Henriette, you need to find times to have fun. But apparently I saw that in my life is just a period of time, that I know that there will be moments where I won't have any minute to do anything, and there will be moments where I'll have moments to do all the things that I want.
So then you gotta kind of pick and choose, or be able to focus and juggle a bunch of things at once. Henriette seemed really good at multitasking, basically, and having like five projects on the go.
Yeah, no, I'm not good at multitasking. I don't know about you, but I'm more productive when I pick priorities.
Mm-hmm. I found it depends on the projects. So, and this is a good example. I mean, this podcast, as I say, is something every couple of weeks. That's not a massive, it's not like a full-time commitment. It's kind of, you know, a couple hours in 1 week and then a bit of time for editing. So that I can manage, and next to a much bigger project, right? That could be like the writing course and stuff I'm doing now, which could be easily 20 plus hours a week, however much time I have. So if it's different a scale, then I can balance it. I mean, I guess it goes without saying, if you're doing a whole bunch of things that really take a lot of time, you probably won't get much, if anything, done if they're all really big projects. So it depends on the nature of it too.
Mm-hmm. Not that for sure.
Are you part of any accountability groups, whether, I guess, PuTTY or otherwise?
Not right now, because I found out that it gives me more anxiety because sometimes I don't have the time to accomplish that purpose I gave myself 2 weeks ago. And like, I don't have the needs, because right now I'm starting this job that is, it's actually making me feel very relaxed. I'm starting to being able to take care of myself in terms of economically speaking, sure, and not depending on people, and that was giving me a huge anxiety last year. And by having that right now and starting to be able to take care of myself by not depending on anyone is giving me that kind of freedom to do other things that I don't have the need to do them, but I do them because I want to, and I do them for me, and I don't have to do them for anybody else.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to feel empowered that way. You have permission, right?
Yes, that for sure.
I'm curious about your job. Like, when you're a flight attendant, I mean, and you're at work, which is obviously kind of a different job, do you have a chance to maybe in a quiet moment chip away at something you want to work on? Or is it just absolutely full on and you can't really get back to your projects until you get home?
It depends on the destination, but right now I'm flying long distance. So sometimes we spend like a day, we can spend from a day to a week in the destination. So if it's more time than the time that I need to recover, the time difference, I do take like a book, or I sometimes try to take the computer with me and to try to push on my personal investigations. But it's not something that I say, like, if I can do it, that's awesome. But if I cannot do it, that's right too. I mean, I'm learning about new people. I'm meeting new people. I'm learning about other places, cultures, things. I'm seeing new things. And I am very grateful for this job, because it's completely different from the things that I've done so far. And it's a service. You have to take care of the security of the flight and the people that go in it. So it's very, very, you have a task. And then when you're done with that task, you don't have to think in anything else but just that thing. And when you're done, you can do whatever. So it's good that for a period of time, like, I'm doing this job that doesn't require for me to be creative, and it doesn't drain my creativity. So I can use it for myself in the way that I want to.
Yeah, my job's like that too. It's intense, and it's you really have to focus, but it's like you're on the clock. You start, you do the work, you stop, you earn your money. Done something somewhat interesting, but then you feel satisfied, and again, permission. Now you've earned that time and the money to go do your other things, right? So
yeah,
it's kind of nice to have jobs like that if you have enough balance, I guess, between work and other time.
Yeah, that for sure. But you know, I've learned that having that, like, a job that doesn't relate to your passion is also okay.
Yeah, that's true too.
And that doesn't mean that you are not doing the job that you have to do with passion, but you're doing it because you need to survive, and it is giving you the permission and the time and everything to do the things you love, and it's still something to give thanks for.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's some positive thinking then as we get into the new year. So I think we're off to a good start here in 2019. Now, Sandrine has a tip of the week for us, and we'll do a putty profile as well. Yeah, let's keep on the vein of productivity and accountability. It always seems to pop up here in our conversations. In most episodes, we come back to the themes like that. So off to a good start here in 2019.
It was very great to be back with you all, and I wish you the best of luck with all your projects and goals for this future year. And, you know, don't put much pressure on yourself. You just know that you're doing your best, and you put in the best of you. So if you do that, it's all you need.
Well said.
Well, hello, Sandrine here with our tip of the week. It's been a long time. I'm really excited to share this tip with you today because of this episode about reconnecting and about organizing our work to try and make sure, well, not try, but actually make sure that we're going to succeed with our new goals and objectives and dreams that we want to make real. And so today I'm going to talk to you about the bullet journal. So the bullet journal is a method that's been developed by Ryder Carroll. So that's R-Y-D-E-R, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L. And basically, it's a whole new way of tracking what we accomplish, what we do each day, and where we're heading with our dreams and our projects. So I really want to encourage all of you to go online and type in bulletjournal.com and check out this method. I've been looking into productivity methods for over 25 years, and this is definitely the one that's completely made me change my ways of doing things, and I have now adopted it since the new year. And so basically the concept is very simple. You start with a notebook fresh whenever you start, so it doesn't have to be January 1st. It can be any day of the year. And you start on the date that you're starting on. You don't have to backtrack or anything. And the premise of this way of organizing yourself and making sure that you get through everything is all about intention. So I'm tying this into the episode, and Ted talked about it, but so did Henriette and even Sarah in a way, where they all talked about, you know, what do I want to get done? What's my purpose? What's in line with what I really want to accomplish? And how we get sidetracked and how we get lost sometimes in so many things, especially all of us multipods. And so this tool, this organizational tool, but it's also an intentional tool, really makes you stay totally aligned with what is your intention, what are the projects that are so important to you that you really want to accomplish them. And so it allows you to track everything in a real-time fashion. And very short moments are spent doing this. So it's also very effective. It's not one of these things that the method takes you forever to incorporate and spend, you know, 2 hours a day planning. It's really half an hour a day maximum. At first, it might take a little bit longer because you have to get used to how to do it, but it's very rapid. And even everything you enter, there's a maximum or minimal structure. So it's about minimalism as well, even in the way that you're entering the information. He developed this thing called rapid logging. And so the rapid logging of your tasks, of your events, of the things that you're working on cannot go beyond one sentence. So that forces you to structure yourself and to structure how you're writing things down and to make sure they actually speak to you when you read them, when it's time to get things done. So I'm not going to give you more detail because it's actually a bit longer to explain, but please go to bulletjournal.com or contact me in the Putty Tribe, and I'll be happy to walk you through this amazing way of being intentional and staying focused on the activities and projects and dreams that really matter. So on that note, have a wonderful beginning of 2019, and we'll be hearing from you, and you'll be hearing from me some more on the Multipod. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Lori Kaler is in our Putty Peep profile for this week. Lori is currently into photography, current events, sociology, and starting great conversations in our forum. which is pretty nice because Lori lives currently in Vermont, well, previously in Richmond, Missouri, in Warrensburg, Missouri, Lexington, Missouri, and currently in Colchester, Vermont, where she's far from her husband, who I guess is back in Missouri. Lori got a new job, and she just moved to Vermont. And I think that played a part in her joining the Putty Tribe not so long ago, just a couple months or so. In November of 2018, she joined the group and been very, very active since then with being part of lots of conversations, starting new topics and so on the forum. And it's been nice, I guess, to see the Putty Tribe kind of fill that void while she's been settling into her new job. So that's great to see. Now, Lori is, she says, a bibliophile and a pluviophile. She promises those are the only two big words that she'll throw around. Her main focus these days is her photography hobby. Now, she says she's not really into it so much for money or to do a business or anything like that on the side. It's really just to improve her photography skills so, you know, she can take beautiful pictures of family and friends and the mountains and so on. And Vermont's certainly a great place for that, beautiful state and beautiful forests and mountains. Great place, I'm sure, a photographer's dream. So that's her main focus, but she says she's also been engaged in various creative pursuits over the years, including ballet dancing, contemporary dance, two-stepping, papier-mâché, and baking. So that's what's happening with Lori. Now, you can check her out on Twitter. You can find her at LauriAnne4233, so LauriAnne4233. So Lori Kaler, that's our Putty Peep of the Week. Well, thanks again to Henriette for joining us today on this episode. And to fade things out, we're going to leave you with something very special. Now, if you remember, Henriette mentioned how she has figured out a way to basically assign values and then musical notes to Excel spreadsheets and come up with music, original and certainly very creative music. And you're about to hear what that sounds like. We found a copy of the file that she produced, and it's definitely something a little different. It's a little wacky, as you'd expect, but it's pretty cool to see how she's managed to do this. So that's what you're going to hear in a couple seconds as we fade out of the show. And of course, thanks for joining us as well this time out. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. So take it away, Henriette. This is the Excel spreadsheet music.